after the presenter introduces themselves. The yellow caution light comes on after 7 minutes, and the red light ends the presentation. If the red light turns on, we will thank each speaker with warm applause. If the presentation is being interpreted, the time allowed will be doubled to 16 minutes with a yellow light at 14 minutes. Sharing from the floor microphones will be limited to 2 minutes. The yellow light comes on at 90 seconds, the red light at 2 minutes, followed by loving applause. If the speaker is being interpreted, the time allowed will be a double to 4 minutes with the yellow light coming on at 3 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you. So I'm going to introduce the speakers as they come up and their topic. The first speaker today is Alex W., Communication Before and After You Join AA.
Okay, so welcome to the Young People's panel. Love you all. And really quick, last year I said I was the youngest delegate to ever be elected to the General Service Conference. Someone said, is that true? Checked with archives at Michelle Mirza, and it is. I say that simply not because age is something that defines me or was the reason that I was elected, but just that it's possible. That it's absolutely 1,000% possible to be elected at any age to the General Service Conference. Okay. Not yet. I am an alcoholic. I do have the honor and privilege of serving Mid-Southern California, Area 09, as their Panel 74 delegate. I serve on the conference committee as chair to the Cooperation and Professional Committee. And I currently, my sobriety date is January 4th of 2013. My home group is a Shut Up and Crosstalk group in Torrance, California. We meet at 8 p.m. on Tuesday nights at the Torrance Lomito Alano Club. If you're ever in town, we would love to have you. Newspapers, letters, payphones, landlines, pagers, fax machines, dial-up connections, otherwise known as items you will find in a museum representing a pre-2000 era in communication. Well, Alex Cheerhotty was my username on AIM, AOL Instant Messenger. My top six was Heather, Julie, Sarah, Alex, Aaron, and Braden. I am referring to MySpace, of course. Did you update your Facebook status to share with all your friends and family that you're headed to Alaska? How about uploading a photo to Instagram that disappears in 24 hours so everyone knows what you're up to? Twitter, or X, still remains back in 2013 for me. I used to drunk tweet, so to make amends, I deleted my account after I got sober. The one platform that I use to stalk my 13-year-old niece is TikTok, of course. She lives, breathes, and survives on there. During the 24 hours that it was down, I was genuinely worried for the youth. Contrary to where this talk has commenced, my topic is not on social media, but rather communication before I, Alex Wheatley, joined AA and after. Also, where do I hope to be? Communication is a means of sending or receiving information, the imparting or exchanging of information or news, the successful conveying or sharing of ideas and feelings, something I have learned so much about here in Alcoholics Anonymous. Here's your warning that my experience naturally has lots of opinions that will differ from yours. And this talk has some resentment weaved through it, but nothing a 10-step won't fix, eventually. So I am communicating. Also, it's worth noting before we continue that Google says young people are between the ages of 15 to 24. Being 29, I am now about to enter my Tricerian era. World War II, some say, is a huge contribution to how AA was able to flourish around the world. Using military, salesmen, and letters, news articles were how people were aware of the latest news. When I was born in 1995, my parents picked up the phone to call family members. If they didn't answer, you had to leave a voicemail and pray no one deleted it. In 2005, I was in fifth grade. A month before school ended, we had a visitor. This visitor was a cop, and he was with the DARE program. During this program, from what I can remember, we were educated on different types of drugs and the consequences of them. We were also given goggles to put on that mirrored what it felt like to be drunk. I should have known then because my only thought was, I want to do the goggles without the goggles. The education system did their best to communicate to us the dangers of what drugs and alcohol could do. I remember going home, jumping on AIM, and chatting with my friends. At the end of the school year, I got a pink Razer with limited phone calls and texts. Eventually, full keyboard access was part of phones, later on, the internet. Things like social media started to be used more frequently. It was revolutionary to have it all at your fingertips. It became uncommon to not have a cell phone and a laptop. I grew up connecting with friends and family by using social media to share photos of what I was doing. While technology was evolving, I was operating from my experience in terms of how I verbally communicated with others. Communication has been taught to each of us. What we see, we mimic. What we don't, we make up. Culture influences communication. Looking presentable in my family was how we distracted the average person from asking any questions about what was really going on. As my drinking progressed, I couldn't talk to people on the phone, but I could text. I was holding my breath for 4 years before I came into AA, and someone taught me how to exhale with a 10,000-pound phone. So how did I find AA? I picked up my iPhone, opened the internet, and simply Googled, how to stop drinking when you're 17. A facility popped up, and my journey began. What's disheartening, unfortunate, is in the 12 years of being in AA, that Google search has not changed. On my latest Google search, I found Alcoholics Anonymous of Great Britain on page 16. So what is the message AA is sending right now, unintentionally? I'll let you draw your own conclusion. When I read the first 164 pages, I was taught by my sponsor that Bill was specific about the words he chose to use, often repeating the same word by using two similar words to ensure we got the point. I was taught earlier on that what we communicate to the person coming in matters. Am I communicating that there is a way out and that this option has worked for me so it could work for them? What else am I communicating? There is a quote on my fridge, carry the message, and if you must, use words. One of the key themes in AA communication is openness, honesty, and a sense of shared experience. My experience is tied to my ability to listen and speak from my heart. I found closeness, freedom, and love with my fellows when I've shared my truth, my struggles, and my progress. It has served as the most powerful way to maintain my sobriety. In my life today, there is an emphasis for mutual support, and the value of personal connection is priceless. The importance of being open to others' experiences and ideas, particularly during the General Service Conference, has been my responsibility. Meetings and working with others has allowed the words I read to move from my head to heart. This has fostered a sense of belonging. When I got sober, I was introduced to a man who was the youngest delegate of his time. He kicked down a barrier for me that I didn't know was up, that it was possible for young people to not only be delegates, but that they could serve in General Service, not just WIPA. We communicate more with our actions than we ever will with our words, our text, posts, emails, and phone calls. All down the triangle, we're so focused on change. Maybe it's how we communicate that needs to change. What we communicate, as Bill stated, should never change, but how we do it should continue to evolve for so long as God may need us. One day I won't be asked to do a young people's panel because I won't be young anymore, and I can't wait to hear how the world has evolved. In 2024, podcasts were the number one way the average American was receiving information. We have two podcasts, one from The Grapevine and the other from AAWS. So maybe we need some help on Google, but at least we're trying. After 12 years in AA, the main difference is I have a group, a sponsor, sober friends to share all of myself with. What made me feel unique has given me access to lifelong friends and a fellowship that is incredibly and undeniably amazing. Recently at my home group, there has been a group of actual young people. I like to watch them, how they talk, what they say, and listen. Except for a few phrases, not much has changed since I got to AA. Our literature rack is still filled with pamphlets collecting dust. The Grapevine magazines are still getting borrowed. We are still bantering and having our fun call-outs during the Lord's Prayer. We have a QR code that leads to the meeting guide app versus paper meeting booklets. That's new. But our speaker still brings the big book up to the podium and carries the good old AA message. The best means of communication is still with my feet. This talk has reminded me that my responsibility is still and will always be simple, to show up and to ensure people who are looking for a way out can find us. But I am one woman, and I can't do it alone. So I hope to see you trudging the road with me to happy destiny. Thanks.
Thank you, Alex. So our second presenter is Dan from Eastern Washington.
I'm 67 years old. What am I doing up here? I'm Dan. I'm an alcoholic. I have the honor of serving as alt delegate for Western or Washington East Area 92. My home group's Northern Lights in Spokane, Washington. We meet Monday evenings at 7:30. It's a good group. My sobriety date is January 10th, 1979. Dang it, Alex. One of the unique things about AA meetings is that people can share the most devastating experiences, and often there's laughter. Why? I think it's because honest sharing, whether it marks the beginning of recovery or shows that someone's already working the steps, is a testament to the hope that AA offers for this seemingly hopeless disease of alcoholism. I first encountered AA at 21. Through a treatment center, I learned about alcoholism, was encouraged to self-reflect, and was introduced to the 12 steps. I worked through steps 1 through 9 as best I could in that treatment center. I attended my first meeting as a patient in that treatment center and felt welcome in that AA meeting. Socially awkward and needing to learn so much about life, I needed to explore new things, and it was crucial to do this with others committed to sobriety. I was lucky to find many people my age in AA. I had no idea what I enjoyed without alcohol, as it was always been part of my activities. I was still terrified that external forces would trigger a relapse. I lacked faith that connecting with my higher power through the steps would work in all aspects of my life. But as I continued to stay sober, through both perceived wins and losses, my faith in AA grew, and my fear diminished. This allowed me to enjoy life more fully. A wonderful bonus, considering that initially all I wanted was to stop drinking. Before AA, my pursuit of entertainment and pleasure was just a way to mask my fears. This was different. What a gift. Continuing to nurture my relationship with my higher power through the 12-step work, attending meetings and participating in service brings joy and purpose to my life. My first sponsor told me the best way to help others stay sober was to stay sober myself. This gave me a reason to live when I desperately needed one. This primary purpose has remained unchanged through my 46 years of sobriety. Now, how can you actually enjoy an AA business meeting, a service committee meeting, or an area assembly? First, I believe no one should join a committee until after working on their ninth step. My ego still exists, and I can forget that God speaks through group conscience. I can become resentful when my way, which naturally is correct. And if it isn't my way isn't followed, or when it takes too long for others to see my point of view. I try to remember that if I'm angry, I'm wrong. even when I'm factually correct. That means I have an internal issue that only working the steps can resolve. If anger stems from fear that AA might be harmed by something, I hope I haven't acted in a way that creates disunity, because unity is paramount. Second, I need to understand the business at hand and how can I contribute to its progress. I love being involved with groups and committees that get things done. Third, I try to make others feel valued in their service just as others did for me. Fourth, I enjoy the fellowship of people working toward our primary purpose to help the still suffering alcoholic. You are the best people to be around. And thank you for your service.
I think I'm missing somebody here. I gotta find my place in the book. All right. So next we are going to introduce Rudy. Rudy, yes. Come on up, Rudy.
Hello. Hello, Prasa. I thought they were going to leave me at the end again, but this is good. Hello, my name is Rudy Mejia. My home group is the group Despertar Feliz from Van Nuys, California, Central California, Area 93. I belong to a linguistic district number 3, and it's definitely a great honor and privilege to be here representing my Area 93 Panel 75 delegate and agenda is my committee for the 75th conference. So the topic, right? I was young once. Can you believe it? That was a long time ago, actually. You know, some people sometimes they think I'm younger than what I look like, but I'm up there already. Wow, I say. That was a very long time ago. Sometimes I ask myself, what would happen if I had the opportunity to know this wonderful program? Since my career as an alcoholic, because this began when I was 16, okay, back in my country, El Salvador. Possibly things would have been different. In my youth, possibly in my country, there were not as many AA groups as today. I will never know that answer. But what I know today is that the many opportunities that young people have today, see, they have the blessing. We all have the blessing of having this beautiful and wonderful program spread all over the world. A very inclusive program where we do not care about nationalities or religions or even the gender of the people. We only know that if they somehow get to an AA room, they will have the opportunity to decide if they want to continue with us or if they want to continue suffering from this terrible disease called alcoholism. Alcoholism is an illness that affects people all ages, right? Doesn't matter if you're young, too old. It does not matter if you're from El Salvador, Guatemala, United States. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the races, ethnicities, genders, or not gender, socioeconomic status, education, levels, or other factors. We are already here. AA has a program of recovery that helped millions of alcoholics. They lived free from alcohol. You know, the social stigma of alcoholism keeps young people from seeking help long after they have recognized their drinking is different from their peers or is causing them problems. No one is too young to be an alcoholic. It doesn't matter how much you drink. What matters is how alcohol affects your life. There are so many young people's meeting. Young people are very welcome to attend all meetings if they want to. We are already part of this program. The question that I ask you here, PRASA, my friends, and alcoholics who will listen to this message, what kind of welcome are we giving to those young people who visit us? Are we receiving them as the program is telling us? Are we keeping those doors open? And are we giving a good example to those new people who come for the first time to the program? Or are we behaving in a way that leaves much to be desired? And perhaps the young people of today do not stay with us. Could it be that through bad behavior and our bad attitudes between the program, we are taking away the opportunity from many newcomers, especially those young people who come with doubts? I want to invite you to reflect for a moment and ask yourself these questions. Perhaps I was young once, and I did not have the opportunity to save myself from 28 years drinking. Since 16 to whatever I am right now, 28, plus I've been in the program almost 16. Make the math, that's gonna be close to 60. But today is my opportunity to help these new young people. After all, our primary objective is to stay sober and help people who still suffer from this disease. On the other hand, today we are getting young people who not only have the problem of alcohol, but also other substances, drugs, etc. Are we prepared to treat these young people? What can we be done? What can it be done? We know that AA program, you know that exists, you know that we can help. And this program, they can apply it to any type of disease. One day at a time. The one day at a time plan works for everything and everyone. Our mission is to work together to increase trust, right? I will add confidence also. Now, what can we really do to help these people, these young people, any age that comes to the AA groups? You gotta get involved. You gotta get involved with AA. That's how I did it. Some people think, well, you know, service, it doesn't give you any recovery. Well, they're wrong, the way I see it. Because I have a difficult mind. And I said, from the moment I gave myself 90 days, I said, I'm gonna give myself a chance. I wanna discover what it is, how this program works. Is AA these only four walls? What can I do to find out exactly how this works? I got involved through service. I gotta tell you, I was never wrong. I can tell you now, I feel so blessed to be here among you. Somebody told me, one day you're going to be a good delegate right there, every night. I say, oh, that's impossible. That's too long, too much for me. I'm here, guys. And I feel so blessed, but so blessed to be here. Especially knowing that a lot of people, millions probably, thousands of people, didn't wake up today. And we are here. Look at this. Look at this beautiful thing. So I just want to thank you for the opportunity having me. And let's work together. Let's do it. Let's help these young people. So thank you for having me.
I'm a little messed up. Rudy was supposed to be last. I hope Debbie has her presentation. I don't see it in the book, so. So.
It's okay, I have it.
I don't know. This is Debbie from somewhere.
Okay, so if you haven't been able to figure it out by this, I too am not a young person. I was born the same year as the Barbie doll, and my primary email address is hugsforcats@aol.com. Oh yeah. So my name is Debbie. I'm an alcoholic from Fair Oaks, California. Hi everybody. My sobriety date is May 17th, 1993. I am currently serving as the CNIA Area 07 Registrar for almost 2 months now. Super excited about it. And I get to talk about Rule 62. Show of hands, who has not heard of Rule 62? One guy. My audience is one guy tonight. Okay. Alrighty, so let's talk about the history of Rule 62. Don't take yourself too damn seriously. So the basic story is that in early AA history, a group located in a somewhat remote area was able to convince the local town to fund this grandiose idea to operate an elaborate facility offering medical treatment, residential recovery, and of course, AA meetings. They even came up with 61 rules that would define how the place would be run, who could be admitted, etc. And as you can imagine, there was plenty of disagreement over that. So to try to resolve their differences, they sent a copy of their rules to the New York office. Can you imagine being a New York office employee and getting that list? The volunteer workers were stumped. They had no idea how to run a large facility or what to say to the group about these crazy rules. But thankfully, before they had a chance to write back, another letter arrived, and this time it just had one rule, Rule 62, don't take yourself so damn seriously. In an attempt to over-organize and control their recovery efforts, the group realized they were making things too complicated and finally made the decision to put their egos aside, realizing any rewards that they might receive were just not worth the risk of tearing the group apart. So what's the real meaning of Rule 62? Well, of course, recovery is serious business, but that doesn't mean we should lose our sense of humor or become ego-driven or self-righteous, right? So what can Rule 62 do for us? This is awesome. It teaches us humility in recovery, avoiding that trap of thinking we have all the answers. If you're like me, sometimes God puts people in my life to act as a mirror so I can see where I might be doing this. It also teaches us laughter as healing. Humor can lighten the burdens of sobriety and bring people together, especially when we're willing to laugh at ourselves. It's not always easy to see the ridiculousness of my thinking or behavior, and that's why I have a loving yet gentle and firm sponsor that has my permission to help me see where I fall short. It teaches us balance in life. We shouldn't take ourselves so seriously that we forget to enjoy life. I'm usually the one who plans most of our family get-togethers. Timelines and spreadsheets are not unheard of, but are not always welcomed. I have to be reminded that my way is not always the only way, and I can be free to listen to other people's ideas and suggestions. Okay, so why does Rule 62 matter? Well, we can take ourselves too seriously and we can become isolated, and that can lead to what? Stinking thinking. Yep, and we're often frustrated, indignant, oh, never me, and unteachable. We dismiss our higher power and we lose interest in others. But what could happen if we embrace Rule 62? Well, we can let go of unrealistic expectations without fear. We all know that assumptions make an ass out of you and me. Yes, I swore. We can improve our relationships by being humble, open, engaging, and relatable, not just in the rooms of AA, but in our jobs, at work, school, homes, family and friends, and yes, even in the world while grocery shopping and driving in our cars. And most importantly, we can be emotionally and spiritually well by staying grounded in the truth that we are not all that. So I reached out to a couple of my friends in recovery and said, what does Rule 62 mean to you? How do you apply it in your life? And these were some of my favorites. See your life as lighthearted, fun, and enjoyable. It's important to be able to laugh at yourself and not take for granted the little things. Our recovery program is suggested, and our traditions are to ensure unity and not to be exclusive and divisive. The prayer of St. Francis epitomizes the meaning of Rule 62 for me. Keep it simple, check your motives, and keep your ego out of it. I take my alcoholism seriously, but not myself. Rule 62 replaces shame or embarrassment at my drunken escapades with laughter at my absurdity, and it helps me keep right-sized. What a relief it is to be free of the illusion of control and power where there is none, and to turn to my higher power for the wisdom and power to keep it simple. If you're a grapevine reader, do a little research and you'll find several stories of people sharing their experience of Rule 62 as well. To me, sobriety is about growth, progress, humility, service, connection, and acceptance. Ask people to join you in finding humor in even the tough situations. Make sacrifices to support others and do it with kindness. If you think your sponsees are not watching you, you're wrong. Welcoming Rule 62 can make recovery a little lighter, a little easier, and a lot more joyful. Some of you might be thinking, I thought AA didn't have any rules, and you're right. Rule 62 is really an illustration. It's a reminder of how not to be. Just because we have no rules doesn't mean we should act unruly. This time of year, last year, I had just finished my second of 4 rounds of chemotherapy for breast cancer. Month after month of medical appointments and treatments, I was constantly reminded of how serious my situation was. But I continued to trust God, work my program, surround myself with friends in recovery that would remind me to laugh, even at myself, especially when I wanted to cry. Is there something happening in your group, maybe your life, that could use a little Rule 62? What needs a dose of humility? Maybe a splash of humor or even a kick in the ego. I challenge you all to take a little Rule 62 home with you and see what happens. Thank you.
All right, the floor is now open for sharing on the presentations. There are, I believe, 3 microphones on the floor. If you line up, you will be selected one at a time. I would like to remind everyone of the 2-minute limit and 4-minute limit for those requiring interpretation. The clock starts after you introduce yourself. Please do not come to the microphone for a second time until everyone else in line has had a chance to share first. Please keep your comments to the topic of this panel. All right, we're going to start with the microphone over there. There is. Oh, there it is. Okay, I need to do 1, 2, 3 or I'll be confused. So I'm going to start right over here.
My name's Angela. I'm an alcoholic. I am the DCMC for District 4. That's Long Beach, California, in Area 9. I'm also the convention liaison for Area 9. Thank you, Alex, for your great presentation. I just love you. So I was once a WIPA, too. And I think that there should be something said about this. So I got sober originally in 1989, and I moved to Honolulu, Hawaii, where we hosted IKIPA. It was the first time it was off the U.S. mainland. I was at the time I was the entertainment co-chair. And for those of you who remember Don Ho, some guy that was sober from the Don Ho show was my co-chair. It was so cool. So half of you guys, the real young people aren't going to remember Don Ho. Anyway, it was one of the best experiences of my life, and I see now that even though I didn't get to stay continuously sober, I still feel very at home when I do attend WIPA meetings, and I can tell you that the ones that I have seen are flourishing. They know how to be in service, and they are really active in Alcoholics Anonymous. So they may fool around, but when it's time to get to business, they get to business. So I just want to thank you all for having this panel.
All right, right here in the center.
My name's Mary Jean, and I'm an alcoholic. Hi, everyone. I'm at DCM, District 1, Monterey, California, California Northern Coastal Area 6. And I brought an idea for a proposed agenda item, or PAI, around a public information service piece using QR codes to my district in January. And the motion to forward the PAI passed in February, and it will be presented at our area this month. So in the center of your tables are business cards. This is an example of what the service piece could look like. This is not a grandiose idea. It's very simple. And it conveys in seconds that if you're having a problem with alcohol, AA is here, what AA is, and how you can find us right now. So on the back we're requesting, and there's an email address, if you could please let us know your thoughts and feelings about this service piece and try out the QR codes because they do work. It can be translated easily into other languages. So there's Spanish ones as well that I'll leave at the translation table. And that's it. Have a great process, everyone.
Thank you. All right.
My name's Brian, I'm an alcoholic. Brian. Hey everybody. Let's see if I can get this right. District 18, Area 9, DCMC. And I don't know, I've been to countless different processes. Oh, and by the way, that District 18 is the best district in the world.
Right.
Thank you all the panelists up there. They were all fantastic shares, fantastic presentations. And I don't know if I have a question or more of a comment and what I've been kind of meditating and contemplating recently about Rule 62. It's kind of been a focal point in my life for the past, 6 weeks or so. Where does one balance levity? Where does one balance, humor? And where does one, not taking myself, ourselves, too damn seriously in moments of extreme seriousness? And I want to thank the presenter up there for talking about that. Recovery is a serious business. How do we bring levity, humor, in a responsible manner? I don't know. I don't have the answers. But if anyone knows, I'm happy to talk about it. That's all I got.
Thank you. Back over here.
Hi, everybody. My name is Judy W. I'm a GSR from the Morning Serenity Group in San Mateo, California, and I am the District 5 San Mateo, concept study chair. Thank you so much for the panel. I'd like to say that I'm an old lady physically, but I am young at heart. And although I only celebrated 19 years, to some people who are younger than I who have celebrated more, it doesn't matter. If you're young at heart, you fit in. And if you believe in love and tolerance, and if you believe in principles before personalities, it will always work. But thank you so much for mentioning Rule 62. Don't take yourself too seriously. And always remember Rule 63, don't take anybody else too seriously either.
Thank you, Judy.
I'm Matthew, alcoholic. Woo, this is coming apart. Hey, Debbie, you rocked it. Good job. And Dan, thank you. I identified with your story the most. Being the delegate for California Northern Interior, I get the opportunity to visit a lot of different groups. But the young people's groups are the ones that I really love to go because the energy is incredible. We have what's called SACIPAW, Sacramento Young People's. Woo! I hear it in the back. I've been to their meetings, and it's an awesome event. But I've also been to All California, ACIPAW. Oh, my gosh. All California was insanely, just like, I felt so old in the room, and all the beach balls and the things that were flying around in the room. But then, a year ago, in San Francisco, they had ICIPAW, and I had the opportunity to go to that. If you have not been to any of these events or, you know, have thought about it, I am encouraging everybody in the room to go to a young people's event. Oh my gosh, you are never too old to participate in your recovery. Thank you.
Thank you. Over here.
Hi, I'm Melissa Moss. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi,
hello, and I'm the DCM for Subdistrict 11111, Area 03, Arizona. I became a GSR when I had about 7 months sober. Don't necessarily recommend that. But it was when I joined a young people's group and their GSR was moving away and no one else wanted to do it. And we have a concept in YPAW, it's kind of get in the car mentality, where we put people in the car, we pay for their registration, they sleep on the floor, we feed them, we get them to the event, we get them to the conference. And that's sort of how I was treated when I joined General Service. I was still in a sober living environment. I kind of had no idea what was going on. I had basically just finished the steps. I had my first sponsee. I was terrified. And I had somebody come to my business meeting and help me present panel topics. I had people make sure I was going to the right meetings. I had people put me in the car, put me in the hotel, make sure I was registered, sit with me, you know, help me through everything. And I had that get in the car mentality that, like, really, you know, evolved my love for YPAW. I had that same experience in General Service. So please come to our young people's meetings. I feel like I'm aging out at this point, so their young people's meetings. Please, like, come share your experience. Take us by the hand. Take those young people by the hand. Trust them to do those service positions and get them in the car. I was open to the world of General Service. It's absolutely changed my sobriety for the last 10 years. And hand in hand with my YPAW service, it's so different. It's equally as rewarding. Please get those young people in the car. Please take their hand and show them, like, how amazing this can be to their recovery. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks over here.
Caleb, alcoholic.
Caleb.
Thanks for kicking us off, guys. I'm a big fan of Rule 62. Young people's meetings have been a big part of my sobriety. I've been sober for a bit over 4 years now. I'm treasurer for Lost and Found, 7 p.m. Sunday at the Reno Triangle Club. I've been in service at that meeting since I was about 9 months sober. And I remember people telling me about young people's meetings and my sponsor warning me, oh yeah, they like to make some weird jokes during the readings. And so I show up and people start making these jokes and I'm thinking, what is this, a Rocky Horror Picture Show? Like, what's going on here? And sometimes there's a big point of contention, and I thought it was weird at first, but within a couple of those meetings, I started joining in on the jokes, and it got me engaged with those groups, and I got to know those people quickly, and it made the meetings fun. And because of making those jokes, I inadvertently memorized how it works. It's etched into my brain, and I'll be forever grateful for that, so thank you.
Oh, sorry. Cheats some sleep at the wheel here.
Waiting for you. Hi, Roxanne, alcoholic, past delegate for Area 8, San Diego Imperial. I have a question for, well, I have a question for Alex, but I want to thank all of you for being here. It's a great process so far. So just to let you know that I too was young in AA, and I have the pictures to prove it. But all my sponsees think I was born this old. So I I'm too concerned about how we communicate in AA and what our options are. And several years ago, we looked at some PSAs that were amazing from the country of Australia. And nothing happened with those. There were 30-second PSAs that put the hair on your arms up. And they're the kind of things you would see at 2 o'clock in the morning when you were still drunk and would make you think about the future of your life. And the 30-second PSA is where we're at right now. That's all we get. In fact, I think it's more like 13 seconds. But, you know, we're flipping through YouTube's, you know, want it, don't want it, don't want it, you know? And how can we capture them? This is huge. You opened it up. Let's carry it through. Thank you.
Thank you. That orange light will sear your eyeballs, I tell you. Over here.
Thank you. Short mics are an accessibility issue. A shout out to Bill at the ASA table, ASL table. I love each and every one of you. My name's Drew. I'm an alcoholic, presently serving as DCM of District 33, Tuolumne County, California Northern Interior area. I'm also a finance chair of the area. Oh, that's better. We have a brand new YPAW committee called CADIPAW, Calaveras and Tuolumne Young Peoples, and it is vibrant. It's alive. They have a huge, raucous meeting, and they had a great showing, including myself as an old-timer at ACIPAW in Santa Cruz. A couple weekends ago, I had the time of my life. I felt out of place, though, because I don't shotgun Red Bulls at 8 at night, and I do not vape. And I, too, highly recommend anyone to go to any YPAW event. My comment is, for years I've been attending PRASA, and I'm still flabbergasted at the fact that we cannot figure out a Google search engine. And I don't understand. Is it money? Is it search word optimization? Is it just traffic? I mean, I think it should be a whatever it takes type thing to get us to the top of these search engines. Thank you.
Thank you. Over here to my left.
My name is Cynthia. I'm an alcoholic. Hi, everybody. And I am Area 2, DCM 7, Anchorage, Alaska. Thank you. And, I got sober when I was 28. And, how I got sober was I ended up going to treatment with a bunch of ladies. And the ladies and I went to a whole bunch of meetings and a bunch of dances and a lot of events that were held by Narcotics Anonymous and a lot of other groups. And Everything Recovery. We went to Everything Recovery because we wanted to have fun. We wanted to stay, and two people from our treatment center didn't make it. They died. And I wanted to make it. I wanted it really bad. And I was willing to go to any lengths, meaning we drove like 50 miles. We went to all the meetings. We went everywhere we could to try and look for fun. And we saw people who were 17 years old who got sober. And I wanted to do that. I wished I had done that. And we have to go. We have to go. I go to the young people's meeting. I go to the gay meeting. I go to a lot of the meetings. I haven't been to 25 meetings in Anchorage yet. That's where I'm at in trying to get down all the meetings. But I love to go to the young people meeting, and most of my meetings, including my home group, are irreverent meetings. My meeting is the 9 p.m. meeting we had last night. I had a gentleman who came in from an airplane for this conference, came there last night and got to enjoy our meeting and get an Alaska coin. So I hope you guys all go to enough meetings locally and get an Alaska coin. Thanks.
Thank you. Right here in the front.
Thank you. My name is Holly. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Holly.
I currently serve as a California Northern Interior Area Chair. And I'm just thrilled to be here in Area 2. Thank you for a great process, and thank you to this young people's panel. I wear a Rule 62 bracelet. It's not an official Rule 62 bracelet. My granddaughter made it for me, and it has a rainbow on it. It used to have a smiley face on it, but that broke off. And I wear this Monday through Friday when I'm in my office at work, and I don't care how dressed up I am. I wear my Rule 62 bracelet because I don't want to forget not to take myself too damn seriously. I got sober at 31, and I was a single parent with three children, so I've never been a young person in Alcoholics Anonymous. But I had a lot of fun and fell in love with the fellowship that I crave when I got here. And I remember going to meetings and like going home and my face hurting and my stomach hurting from smiling and laughing so much. But what I wanted to say is I'm really, really excited. I am becoming fascinated with WIPA. I'm becoming fascinated with them because, you know, I'm having conversations with them. I see their enthusiasm, and I'm just so grateful that, you know, like, how do we get that infused with, like, what we're doing and everything that we do? And I think it's important to emphasize the significance of our history, and then also, like, we're going to be celebrating our centennial in 10 years, right? And it's like, I so want to see, like, WIPA energy and all of that. And so I'm really, really grateful that we have these panels, hoping to see lots more young people here, lots of enthusiasm, lots of fun, not just with the young people, but all of us who are young at heart. And I'm just grateful to be here and happy to see all of you and looking forward to a fantastic weekend.
Thank you. Over here, to my right.
Thank you, Charles, alcoholic. Grateful that we have a taller mic now. I'm the alternate DCMC for District 1 and 3 in Area 09. Go, Alex. but I came here because of the responsibility I have for AA for bringing me out. And all the young people that carried me along while their enthusiasm and just hanging out with them. And also learning about that Rule 62, not being serious enough about my, not taking myself so serious that it had to be my way, but learning to listen to other people and encourage them. And yeah, I am an example. Somebody's looking at me always. What kind of an example am I? Thank you.
Thank you. So this panel is going to end in 15 minutes, so we will only be able to hear the next person at each microphone. I'm sorry. Start over here.
Buenas tardes, mi nombre es Brigitte y soy alcohólica.
Good afternoon, my name is Brigitte and I'm an alcoholic.
Vengo de Fillmore, soy la RCG de un paraíso nuevo.
I'm a GSR from a group.
Estoy muy bendecida de estar aquí.
I'm blessed to be here.
En todas las reuniones que he ido,
in all the meetings I have attended,
no he escuchado propuestas para llevar el mensaje a los jóvenes.
I haven't heard any proposals to take the message to the young people.
El programa lo conocí en Ecuador.
I went to Ecuador for the first time in the program.
Llegué a los 23 años.
23 years old.
Y tuvieron mucho amor y mucha paciencia para entregarme el mensaje.
And there was a lot of love and patience to give me this message.
Y una drogadicta y alcohólica como yo se sentía incomprendida.
I was very uncomprehended as a drug addict and an alcoholic.
Y me pregunto aquí, en todas las partes que he ido, no hay jóvenes.
And I'm asking myself, where is the young people here?
¿Qué está pasando?
What happened?
¿Cómo estamos llevando el mensaje?
How are we carrying this message?
No solo a los jóvenes de la calle.
Not just to the young people on the street.
Nuestros hijos, nuestros nietos, nuestros sobrinos.
Our kids, our grandkids, our niece.
Entonces, propongo que necesitamos informarnos más sobre el alcohol, las drogas, para salvar a nuestros jóvenes.
We need to get more information of how to save young people from alcoholism.
Gracias. Una cosa que me enseñaron, me enseñó mi poder superior.
My higher power taught me.
Ustedes.
You.
Mientras siga este camino.
Long as I keep through this road.
No tengo nada que temer.
I don't have to worry about anything.
24 horas.
24 hours.
Thank you. Right here.
Waka. Waka means hello or welcome in Yupik Eskimo. Waka. Waka also means what is your purpose here? And in 1986, I'm a full-blood Yupik Eskimo. In 1986, I moved to Hawaii so I could pass out and not freeze to death. So I became a homeless person. My daughter got taken away from me because she was taking care of me on the streets. And I got sober on the beach in Honolulu, Hawaii, at a meeting called Happy Hour. At the old VFW, was the craziest meeting you ever... In 32 years of sobriety, I've never seen a more crazy AA, and was just made just for me because I was so Jerry Springer. For instance, some guy said something really gross to me in a meeting regarding something about my body. So I stand up and clocked him in the face really hard. I know I broke his nose. And I had, at that time, I had 3 years sober. So I really had to learn about Rule 62. Don't take yourself so seriously. And I'm so glad. I speak a lot in the U.S., and I started speaking as a main speaker back in when they had tapes, you know. And I have never spoken in Alaska, but there's some... other Eskimos that came to Honolulu and Maui. I'm a GSR for two meetings and an alternate GSR for in Maui because we have very small population. But anyway, so what was that? Oh, the natives. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our last one for today over here.
Thank you. I'm a JSR from West Sacramento, California, the new home of the A's, and which is in Yolo County, which is a great name for a county, Yolo, which is District 17 in Area 7. And my name is Robert. And I want to speak about Young People's also, which I think WIPA and all these organizations are awesome. When I first got sober, I was young. It was over three decades ago. And there was a lot of stuff going on for young people in my home group. There'd be dances. We'd have parties. We would do stuff. Road trips, man. Jump in somebody's car, we'd go out, we'd have fun. Now, I want to fast forward to now. What I see now happening is I sit in meetings, there's no young people there anymore. And we have a really large group. And young people come into the group and they go, oh, yeah, there's WIPA, there's youth groups. And then we never see them again. Now, it used to be you would have older people. There's people in my group, 30, 40, 50 years of sobriety that are very knowledgeable in working the steps. But they're not getting the opportunity to take these people through the steps or sponsor them. And you see, in the past, those same people would have groups of young people around them being sponsored. They brought an energy to our group that is gone. The energy is noticeably different now that they're not there. So I'm not saying this is bad. You don't have to say one thing's bad to point out another issue. What I'm saying is it seems like there's a chasm that has to by some way to be bridged so that energy isn't taken away from existing groups that have been successful. That's all I really got. Thanks.
3:30 to 3:40. One more.
Hey, hello, me.
We just have a little time. We ended prematurely, so
I'll do a quick one.
Whoever's putting the most money in the basket. All right, right there. You're the last one.
Hi, my name's Gracie. I'm an alcoholic. I
closer. Hi, I fear I'm the youngest one in this room, or at least the top five youngest person in this room. And I'm super grateful to be here. You know, I want to just talk about bringing more young people presence to, you know, like the general service world. I mean, there's a lot out there, just not, I mean, that I could see in this room. I don't know. I mean, I got sober young. I still am young. And, like, it's something I'm passionate about, like, learning more and, like, being of service. And I'm fortunate enough to have been funded to come here with my sponsor through our area. And, I mean, I think that's one great way to get more young people presence out here. You know, my sponsor, I met on my young people committee, GISDPOB. We're in San Diego. You know, my sponsor, she served on ACIPOF 51, I believe. You know, she's big in the YPAW world as well as the general service world as well. And, like, because of that, that's something that, like, she has what I want. And, like, I don't know. I'm super, super nervous. But, like, I'm grateful to be here, and I'd love to, you know, find a way to get, you know, the young people more involved in this kind of stuff and in this world. Thank you.
All right, they're telling me over here we got room for one more.
Woo! Yay! Woo-hoo! My name is Bridget, and I'm an alcoholic. I am the DCMC for Combined Hollywood Districts and the alt chair for the Finance Committee of Southern California Area 5. This is my first PRASA.
Welcome.
I just wanted to say thank you for sharing the presentation on Rule 62 and for so bravely sharing about your cancer journey. I am 6 years sober, but at my first anniversary, I too was diagnosed with cancer. And it was the pandemic, and AA got me through it with a lot of laughter. So much so that today, as a member of this beautiful organization and somebody who loves to be of service, I am starting my first meeting, and it is called Camel Toe. T-O-W. T-O-W, it has a lot to do with AA and also the fact that I've done a lot of research in women's health and women's cancers. I had cervical cancer, and it all ties together, and you'd be surprised at the facts of the statistics around HPV and cervical cancer in our community. And I hope that they get out there, and I think our meeting will get a lot of attention just because of the title. Thanks.
Thank you. So we are out of time for this panel. For those who wanted to share but didn't get the opportunity, there's a What's on Your Mind session on Sunday morning at 7 a.m. Also, please be sure to put your ask it or your questions in the delegate ask it basket that's right here in front of Dan. And you get it in there so there's plenty of time for questions at 11 o'clock on Sunday. The Ask It Basket will be available till 8:45 on Sunday. Please join me in thanking the presenters, Alex, Dan, Rudy, and Debbie, our timer, David, and our awesome reader, Alexandria. Sorry. Please remain seated now as we will hear announcements from the PRASA chair. Thank you.